the topic I would like to speak about today is something which affects all of Ashkenazim on Pesach, and I know there are, Baruch Hashem, numerous Sfarim that come to Ashir every Sunday, but I think you'll see a relevance for everybody in this year. But that is the topic of kitniyot. The kitniyot are roughly translated as legume, which nobody knows what that word means anyway. But that's the way they translate it. So kitniyot is something that Ashkenazim do not eat on Pesach and Sfarim do. And in truth, if you go through the list of products, if you go through the list of products that we don't eat on Pesach, a good deal of them, a great many of them, are really because of the fact of, that they contain kitniyot as opposed to chametz. Many of the breakfast cereals that we have are invalid for Pesach because of that. Other items which have corn syrup, which we will discuss. So kitniyot is obviously a significant issue in the observance of Pesach that we have today. So I'd like to discuss this minhag, how come Ashkenazim have it in Sfarim don't, where it comes from, and so forth. So we begin here on the sheet of the Gemara in the Sefer Pesachim, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, a very important Gemara to know in understanding the dinim of Pesach, and that is that the Mishnah tells us the following are a list of items through which a person can fulfill the obligation on Pesach. And what's being referred to here is the mitzvah of matzah. There is a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night or the first two nights of Pesach. There's a chiyuv to eat matzah on those nights. The rest of Pesach, theoretically, one would not have to eat matzah if he didn't want to, except the meals that you have to have lechem mishnah. But on the first two nights of Pesach, there is a, by us in the Golos, there is a chiyuv eat matzah. And the question is, what could you make the matzah out of? Now we have to realize that if you go into Publix or you go into different bakeries, there are things like cornbread that exist in the world. There are rice cakes we have today. It's very common that there are products that are made out of things other than wheat. Bread that we have is commonly made out of wheat, but there are other items as well. The Mishnah tells us that when it comes to matzahs, there are only five ingredients that could generate a matzah that through which one would fulfill the mitzvah. Now we're not speaking here about chametz. We're talking about what type of matzah, what is the ingredient that needs to go into the matzah in order to fulfill the obligation that the Torah says you have to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. And the Mishnah lists them all. Chitim, the first one is wheat. Seorim, the second one is barley. Kusmin, the third one is belt. Shifon, I believe, is rye. And Shibola Shuol are oats. The five grains, wheat, barley, belt, oats, and rye, those are the five grains through which matzahs can be made. Those are the five grains through which matzahs could be made and nothing else. If a matzah would be made from any other material, even if it had the potential to form something like a matzah, nevertheless, you would not be okay. It has to be one of these five. The minute that matzahs most commonly are made from wheat for certain reasons, this is the halacha that's in practice today. However, we know that today you could get pretty much matzahs made from other things as well, that the people have various allergies and intolerances. They have matzahs made from spelt, they have matzahs, I believe, made from rye as well, or whatever that you could get, you could get matzahs made as needed, but the preferred, l'chatchila, a person who can handle it, it's preferred to eat matzah from wheat for reasons that we're not going to discuss now. But this is the halacha of what matzah could be made out of. Now, if we skip down to the Gemara asks, if we go down to the second wide line on the page, so the Gemara asks, and then it's towards the end of that line, the Gemara asks, Minan Mili, the Gemara says, how do we know this is true? Why should this be? Why only these five? So the Gemara says a very, very important drasha. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, v'chein tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, v'chein tana devei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, the Pasuk says as follows, It says, Lo sochal olot chomet, that one should not eat chomet, shivat yomim toch olot matzot. But for 7 days, one should eat matzot. Now that pasuk in itself doesn't sound like any big deal. But the Chazal said, based on the fact that we have chomet and matzah right next to each other in the pasuk, so the Chazal interpreted this to mean that dvarim habayim lidei chimur adam yotze behem yidei chavasa b'matzah, that only items which can result, which can possibly become chomet, can one fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with. In other words, based on the fact that the pasuk in the same breath, so to speak, says you shouldn't eat chomet, you should eat matzah, so the implication is that it's coming from the same type of material. In other words, something which could have become chomet, that is the type of material that you have to use, that's the type of ingredient that you have to use in order to make matzah. And therefore, the Gemara continues and says that yotzu elu, the Gemara says this would be to the exception of other items which the Gemara mentioned earlier, namely orez v'dolchen. Orez v'dolchen means rice and millet. Okay, those items, says the Gemara, she'ein yabon lidei chimut. These items do not come to chimut. Elo lidei sirchon. The Gemara says, but rather they come to what's called sirchon. Sirchon means decay. That's the way it's translated. Which means the following, which means that even though it is possible for a person to make a bread or a bread-like texture out of rice or out of corn, but and one who attempted to do so would see that if you prepare it the right way, the dough will actually expand, and it appears to give off the impression that it looks like the chomet process is taking place. Says the Gemara, no, the process, the chemical reaction which the Torah refers to as chomet, or the Gemara's term as chimut, when something becomes chomet, that can, we have a Masorah, that could only take place with 5 materials. There are only 5 materials in Hashem's world that could come into, that could become chomet. The 5 grains, wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. Those 5 things. Anything else cannot become chomet. It cannot, what the Torah refers to as chomet cannot take place by anything else. So even one was to make a cornbread and the dough would rise, nevertheless, that is not what the Torah refers to as the chimut process, but rather the Gemara calls that sirchon, that's called the decaying. That the fact that the reaction that takes place that causes the dough that's made from that material, from those ingredients to rise, is not what the Torah meant when it refers to chomet. This is what the Gemara says, this is the Kabbalah that we have. And therefore, being that the halacha is that matzah can only be made, in other words, from this Gemara you see 2 things. You see, first of all, that matzah can only be made from a material that could become chomet. That's halacha number one, which comes out from this. And the second thing is that only the 5 grains can become chomet. Nothing else can become chomet. You could mix it with water, and you could wash in front of your very, you could make it into some sort of a floury type of material, and you mix it with water, and you'll see in front of your very eyes that the dough that you made begins to expand and begins to even rise. But nevertheless, that's not what the Torah meant when the Torah said chomet. This is the halacha that we have at the din of the Gemara, and this is the halacha that's brought in the poskim. And therefore, on this basis, if you turn to the next page, we have here the Rambam in the Hilchos Chomet Matzah. The Rambam says, "Ein oser mishum chomet b'pesach." That, in other words, again, just to clarify, from the Gemara we see what's matzah and what's chomet. In other words, matzah can only be made from the things that could become chomet, and only these 5 can become chomet. And the Rambam proceeds to say that the iser of chomet is only mechameshes mine dovin gulvad, only from these 5 things. Behem shnei mine chitim, shem chita v'akusemis, the 2 types of wheat, which is what we call regular wheat, and spelt. The shloshes meaning atzorim, and the other 3, which he refers to as types of barley, which are barley, rye, and oats. Those are the things that could become chomet. Aval says the Rambam, Hakitniyot, here's the first place that we find this expression, Hakitniyot, which again, the roughly translated as the legume, right, which we'll see, what is the Kitniyot? So the Rambam tells us to go on Orez, Vidolchen, like Orez Vidolchen means rice and millet, ukulim and beans, vadoshim and lentils, ukiyosi vahem, ein vahem ishum chomet. These things cannot become chomet. El afilu lush kemach orez, even if one needed a dough made out of the flour, made out of rice, ukiyosi vahem, even if a person mixed in hot water, v'kisol v'begodem, and he insulated it, he covered it over, ad shenitfach k'mobotek, to the point that it expanded and it rose like dough, k'mobotek shehichmet, it gives off the very, it has the same appearance as dough that rises, says the Rambam, arezem mutter v'achila, this is permitted to be eaten, she'ein zeh chimut elasir chomet, because this is not considered chomet. This is not what the Torah meant when the Torah said chomet. This is the Pesach of the Rambam based on the Gemara, and on this basic principle, nobody argues. Nobody argues. Everyone agrees. Only these things can become chomet. So why then do we have anything more? Why then do we have the prohibition of kitniyot by Ashkenazim? Right? Why is that? So I believe the earliest source for the minhag, in other words, we can't, what the Gemara says, we have to remember, what the Gemara says forms the halacha. Anything that develops beyond the Gemara or after the end of the Talmudic period does not have the power of a halacha. Halacha is only what's in the Gemara. Past that point could become a minute. Now, a minhag, we know that there are all kinds of minhagim that Klal Yisrael has, ranging from this one, right, which is a minhag, which is arranging, for example, the minhag of almost all Jews today to wear a kippah, to wear a yarmulke, which is not mentioned in the Gemara, the obligation to do so. It's not a Talmudic law. Rather, it's a minhag Yisrael. And if you go in the range of minhagim, you get all the way to the point where you have all kinds of different things when it comes to Pesach or personal conduct that people have. You have to, sometimes you go to a wedding, and you see, I believe it's the Chassidish Minhag that the Chassan walks down to the chuppah without his shoes tied. And that's also a minhag. That's why the parents hold them up very carefully. They shouldn't trip, right. But the fact of the matter is that's also a minhag. That's also a minhag. But not all minhagim are the same. In other words, minhagim that have been accepted by all of Klal Yisrael or by significant segments of Klal Yisrael for many generations, so those minhagim have the ability to become, they become transformed also into halacha. In other words, we have a klal, minhag Yisrael is kedinu, that a minhag Yisrael that's widely accepted, it has the same severity as a halacha. So even though it's not a halacha, for example, the observance of mourning during the Sfira period, which is coming up right after Pesach, so everyone knows there's various customs of when you count the 33 days, but the fact that you count any days at all is not mentioned in the Gemara. The fact that there is any mourning during the Sfira period is a minhag. Right? The mourning that we have during the Tisha B'Av season, the mourning of at least the week of Tisha B'Av, that's mentioned, that is clearly stated in the Gemara Maseches Tainis. But the mourning that we have during the Sfira period is not mentioned in the Gemara at all. The Gemara in Yevamos mentions briefly the idea that the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva died during the Sfira period, but that's it. It doesn't say anything more than that. Nevertheless, that's a minhag Yisrael. That's a minhag that is observed that's been observed for centuries by all of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it has the power that we can't change it. That we can't change that. Other lesser minhagim that people who come from a certain part of the world, that in my town this is what we did. You know, so there also there's an inyan that a person should keep them in hagim. They always quote the pasuk in Mishlei, Al titos Torah Nefa, that one should not forsake the Torah of your mother, which in the metaphor, for in other words, where you come from, that's the place where you grew up. If that's the practice that they had, you should not forsake that. But nevertheless, not all in hagim are the same. But kidney is, one thing is for sure, as far as it being a Talmudic law, there's no question that it's not. Okay, this fact that the Rambam said, which is based on the Gemara, there is no dispute that such things cannot turn into chametz. No question about it. Where then did this practice come from? So we have from the Rishonim, written in the, I believe, in the early 14th century or the late 13th century, something called Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan. Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan is known by its abbreviation, by its acronym as SMAK, the Samach Mem Kut, SMAK. And in the SMAK, which was written by one of the Ashkenazic Rishonim, so we have it here on the page, he says, Va'al HaKitiyos, he says, Rabboseinu Noagin Bahem Isser Shalolochum B'Pesach Klal. He says that our teachers, Rabboseinu, he's not saying that he made this up, he's saying this was already in his time, that the practice was not to eat them Noagin Bahem, a minhag. The conduct was that people did not eat it on Pesach at all. He says, and I'm just going to read a little bit quickly, he says, he says, I heard about the bean, Shalola Vashlam, the Pesach, that one should not cook them on Pesach, and so forth. If we go down to the next line, he says, Ugizolim Noagin Bohem Heter. He says, however, there were great people that conducted themselves that this was permissible. Okay, and we'll see right now, even amongst Ashkenazim. He says, Umori Rabbeinu Yechiel, he says, my teacher, Rabbeinu Yechiel, who is known to us as Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, is quoted very often, a great halachic figure. Well, you know, Rachel B'Pesach, Paul 11, he would eat certain beans on Pesach. This is the 14th century. Who maybe Raya, and he said that he brought his proof that the Uva Orez, he said because that even when it comes to rice itself is also one is allowed to eat. And if you refer back to the Gemara on the first sheet, just for a moment, so we quoted the Brisa that says that you're not allowed, that only the five types of grain can become chametz. The Gemara proceeds to say that there is another opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, the Gemara, just if you refer to it for a moment, the Gemara says, the law for Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Amar Orez min Doganu. The Gemara says that there was an opinion of Atana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that he held that rice was also considered a grain, and rice could also come to chametz. That's what he held. However, the conclusion of the Gemara is that we don't hold that way. In other words, so in the history of the in the Talmud that we find in the Gemara, there was somebody who said that rice could become chametz, but the Gemara very clearly comes out on this page and another place in the Sefer Pesachim, the Gemara comes out that we don't hold the halacha that way. So therefore, Rabbeinu Yechiel said, look, why can't I eat these things? I mean, nobody, look in the Gemara. Even when it came to rice, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri claimed, could become chametz, and even that we hold that you're allowed to, that the halacha is not that way. So certainly when it comes to beans and corn and things like that nobody even in his wildest dreams suggested that that could turn into chametz. So he said, surely you could eat it. So we find that even in this time period, even amongst Ashkenazim, it was not 100% universal. There were people that held you could eat at least certain of them, some of them. However, the smak continues by the period, and he says, "Miu kasha hadaver ma'od lahatir daver shenogim bo ha'olav iser b'minei chachonim kadmonim." Says the smak, however, with all due respect to my Rebbe, with all due respect to my teacher, it's very difficult to permit something which, and here's, look at the way he says this, something which the minhag of people has been not to eat it, mimei chachomim kadmonim, from the earlier period of chachomim. And he doesn't tell us exactly, he doesn't give us a timeline exactly when that period is, but he makes it clear. The Smak says that I have a hard time listening to my Rebbe on this point because it has been established for a long time, from the time of the Chachamim Kadmonim, from the earlier Chachamim, that the custom was established not to eat this. So you see from this that, number one, that the prohibition of kidneys went back, even in his opinion, it seems, it's mashma from the way he says it, long before his time. long before his time. That this came went back from, this is already a time-honored minhag in the 14th century. So then he says further. Now, what should be the reason? So he said, why not right now? The big question: why? So if it can't turn into chametz, so why can't he eat it? Right? What's the problem? So he says like this. He says that the reason why people didn't eat it, I'm just skipping a little bit in the interest of saving time. He says it's not because it turns into chametz. Nobody in his wildest dream would say, don't eat kidneys, don't eat beans, don't eat corn, don't eat rice, because of the fact that it could turn into chametz. Because the Gemara says clearly it can't turn into chametz. There's no question about it. He says, so what then is the reason? So he says that the practice is, if you skip down a few lines, he says, Elamitam Zeru, from where I have it underlined, if you go up just a line on top of that, he says, Elamitam Zeru, he says the prohibition of kidneys was based on a Zeru. Now this is unusual, because usually, when we have a Zeru, we find in the Gemara many times that the Chachamim made a Zeru in their interest of protecting the Torah, so the Chachamim prohibited certain things. They made a Zeru. Right, for example, we have a Zera, a common thing here in Miami, that the people have swimming pools. One is not allowed to swim on Shabbos. You're not allowed to swim. Right? So the act of swimming is prohibited on Shabbos because I would say which one of the 39 malachas is that. So the answer is the Gemara in Shabbos says that it's a Zera, that it's not essentially one of the 39, but the rabbis made a decree because they were afraid that if you do that, you may come to construct some sort of device that could allow you to go over water, a raft, or something like that, which would be an issue, right? And therefore they prohibited it. Similarly, the playing of musical instruments on Shabbos, which is also not any of the 39 malachas, but that's a Zera also. So we find Zeras that were made in the Gemara, but it's unusual to find a Zera that was made after the time of the Gemara. But here, the Smach is telling us that the Gedolin of a certain time period, which is not clear exactly when it began, made their own Zera, and they said that the reason why you can't do this is, he said, the Kivan, the Kitni of Maisa Kederu, the Daga Nami Maisa Kederu, because of the fact that Kitni is commonly the type of thing, let's say rice or things like that, is commonly cooked and dealt with in the same way as the grains are, okay? And if you go down one more line to where it's underlined, he says, "Begam yesh mekomos sheregilim lasus mehem tat," that there are places that they make bread out of kidneys. They make cornbread, they make rice bread, kamo mechameshes haminis, v'lachein osu lechlufei lo'osan she'enu b'nei Torah. Therefore, the concern was that people will get confused. Because of the fact that you're able to make bread out of these types of items, so if you allow people to do this on Pesach, so those who are not well versed in the halakha will make a mistake and they'll say, well, look, this person made bread out of rice, so I could go ahead and do the same thing out of the five grains. So you'll say, well, so what's wrong with that? You could make bread out of the five grains. It's called matzah. What's the problem? So I assume what he means is that if you allow people, if people are going to make bread out of rice, they're going to make it without any restrictions. They're not going to be concerned to make it in 18 minutes. The regular restrictions of chametz, the concern of chametz, they will not have. And because they will not have that, so therefore they'll go ahead and take their sweet time to make their cornbread. And somebody else will say, hey, I saw this guy making bread on Pesach, and he wasn't worried. He wasn't looking at his watch. He wasn't concerned about any time frame. So I'll take my wheat flour and make bread also on Pesach. I'll make my matzahs also without any concern of time. And that will result in chametz. So because of the fact that it could result, that there could be a confusion with things that could become chametz, and rice and corn and the similar type things are things which are cooked in the same manner and could be baked into bread. So therefore, this was prohibited because it could lead to confusion and it could lead people to, in some manner, eat chametz. This is what the Smach says is the reason for the prohibition of kidneys. Okay? And he says at the end that even though you'll say, well, if this is such a great concern, how come in the Gemara they weren't worried about this? Why don't we find this today in the Rabbanah? So he says that this is after the second part I have underlined. He says that that was after the Imeyam. It was only in those days of the Gemara. Shehayu kulam b'kiyin b'halachas this is a hetzer. He says in those times people knew this stuff. People knew this. But over the generations, as the knowledge of Torah diminishes, so therefore we have to be concerned about this. And on this basis, this is the first known source for the prohibition of kidneys. This is here in the Smach. So the reason that he gives is because of the fact that it could be confused with grain flour, and a person could unwittingly end up making himself grain flour into chametz. That's reason number one. Now, a second reason that's brought is mentioned in the Beis Yosef, in his commentary here, in the Torah. The Beis Yosef brings a second reason, and that is because of the fact that in the old times, in his time, when they harvested the wheat, so it was, and they processed it, so it was possible that when they harvested the rice, sometimes some grains of wheat could get mixed in with the grains of rice. Right? That in the olden times, the way the food was processed was different than today. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, a second concern, that it could be that when you cook your rice, there's a little grain mixed in there. And if you cook it with water, or you prepare it with water, you try to make it into bread, there is actually going to be chametz. Because of the fact that you will have mixed into your rice, unbeknownst to you, there could also be some grain, and therefore you would have an issue of chametz. So these are essentially the two reasons that we have for the minhag of not eating kidneys on Pesach. The minhag of not eating kidneys on Pesach is based, again, from the Gemara, there is no question that these things cannot turn into chametz. Nobody disputed that. In the Gemara, there is the opinion of Yochanan ben Nuri is only by right, and the Gemara conclusively, decisively says that Allah is not like that. So therefore, there is no way that any of these things can become chametz in and of themselves. However, it's out of either the concern that one could confuse it with grain, with wheat flour, and end up making chametz, or the fact that one could have mixed in to his rice, could have mixed in some grains of wheat, and that will become chametz together. They felt it was a Sephardi, right. So at the end, that's right. But he says, good question, so how come the Sephardim don't go by this? So after he quotes all of this, if you look, very interesting, he goes through a discussion for why people prohibit the kidneys, but then he says at the end of the day, he quotes sources who said, he quotes the smach that we just read, and then at the end of it all he says, "Velech the chashlut varm halolu." The Beis Yosef says that nobody cares about this. Zulati ha-Ashkenazim. Except for the Ashkenazim. Right, that's after a little bit of a, you know, nobody cares about this, except for the Ashkenazim. The real Jews don't care about this. Right? The people who know what they're talking about aren't concerned with this. Nazis, right? Nobody says, that's Ashkenazim, you know, they have issues. So one day we'll be told to educate them, and then they will know the truth. Right? That's what it sounds like when you read the Beis Yosef. But that's what he says, and therefore the law from the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, which is written by the same person, Rabbi Yosef Karo, Maran Beit Yosef, right, he says very clearly that the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, we'll see soon, that you're allowed to eat it on Pesach, there's no question. That's what he says. Yeah.
Some Sephardim
eat rice and some don't. Yeah, so we'll get to that at the end. So let's see, I'm going to cover a little ground here. So we'll see. So these are the reasons for the minute. Now, the extent to which it goes, if you look, how strong is this minute? Now, you know, maybe you'll say, so why do we get so carried away with this? And again, if you make a list, I'm being Ashkenazi, I'm not so familiar with it, but I believe that if you made a list of products that we commonly eat, that we don't eat on Pesach, you'd be astounded how many of them, the reason is not because of chametz. The reason is because of kidney. And it's an incredible thing that this minute became that, you know, you'll say, all right, so why should I care about this? And especially today, one could make the argument one could really make the argument that the second reason for sure, one could say, doesn't apply by us anymore. Because the way it's processed, the Beis Yosef's reason that it's the cause that you get mixed in, that the wheat get mixed in with the rice, no one today in the modern modern food processing they wouldn't be caught dead. You know, any self-respecting Uncle Ben would come out of his grave if someone found a grain of wheat in his rice. But nevertheless, we still hold by this practice. So if you look at the next page, we have here from the Maharil. The Maharil was also an Ashkenazic posek. From the late 1300s, early 1400s. The Maharil is quoted very often in the Halakha of the Yom Tovim. Many of the Ashkenazic Minhagim are based on the Pitzkei Halakha of the Maharil. Okay, so now unfortunately here I didn't indicate where we're going to quote from, but it's about 12 lines from the top. There's a line where there are several periods on the line. So he says, kitnias, kominehem, all the various types of kitnias. So he quotes from some source, Maharash, the Gazrinon, Shalola, Vashlon, the Pesach, Apo, Pishalom, Achmisen, that we don't use them on Pesach, even though they can't come into Chomet, Kiyim, Kamesh, Saminim, right? Even though everybody knows what the Gemara says, everybody knows that only the five grains can turn into Chomet and nothing else. Chisim, Zorim, Kusmin, Shigal, Shul, Shifam. He says, "Mikol Malkom Gazru Kol Mina Kitni is Atu Haman." Nevertheless, they made it Zera. And here he says, "Va'al Yomai Adam." A person should not say, "Kiven Shein Isser Midaraisa Ein Lachush." One should not say, "Well, the Torah didn't prohibit it, so therefore, why do I care?" So he says, "The Kol the Gazru Rabbanan Ha'over Alav Chayiv Nisa." She says, because anything we have a cloud of the Maram Sechus Bracha says that anything that the Rabbanan made in Zera, they put tremendous power behind that decree. And therefore we have a cloud in the Gemara that the severity of the Rabbanan, contrary to what most people think. I remember growing up, whenever anybody said something is awesome in the Rabbanan, so I remember thinking that there was always a word that was put at the beginning of the Rabbanan called only. Right, it's only Midrabbanan. Right, we always have that expression. This is only Midrabbanan. It's only sometimes Midaraisa is prohibited by the Torah. That you have to be careful. But this, it's only Midrabbanan. There's no such thing as only Midrabbanan. In other words, something that the Rabbanan prohibited, we can't do either. The expression that it's only Midrabbanan has relevance in certain limited areas of halacha. That when it comes to a suffix, so when it comes to an Midrabbanan, you could be lenient. But when it comes to an Midrabbanan, you have to be masculine. But as far as if you know it's usher, there is no difference in practical observance of halacha. There is no difference whether something is usher midaraisa midarabbanan. What difference does it make? We go by the rabbanan too. And he proceeds to say that the overall sodzum and adavra sheyarucha. He said, why do we go by the rabbanan? Because we have a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim in Sefer Devarim. We have a pasuk that says that you're not allowed to deviate from anything that the Gedolei Torah teach. Well, sodzum and adavra sheyarucha. So therefore, we have to go by the Rabbanan too. We have to go by the Rabbanan also. And not only that, but we even make brachas on things that the Rabbanan instituted. Like, for example, you have the we light the Hanukkah candles that we just had on Purim. So we read the Megillah. So what do you say? Baruch Atah Hashem Asher Kishonu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Al Mikra Megillah. What do the words mean? That you commanded us, Kishonu B'mitzvosa, you sanctified us with your mitzvahs, the Tzivonu, and you commanded us to do this, to read the Megillah. Where does it say in the Torah you have to read the Megillah? Nowhere. Right? The Torah doesn't say you have to read the Megillah. The Torah doesn't say you have to light Hanukkah candles. These are rabbinic innovations. You wash your hands until you're dying before eating bread. If it's Tzivonu, I'm until you're dying. Where? Show me. Where does it say anywhere I'm sit down that you commanded us I'm until you're dying? The answer is, the Chazal say, that the Shabbat says, that the Torah does say you have to do it. Because the Torah says this pasuk that Al Yatara Shayorucha will suffer Menadara Shagilta Yamun Smol. You cannot deviate to the right or to the left from anything that the Rabbanan say. Which means that we're obligated by the Torah to listen to these things. So therefore the Maharil says that one should not be callous with the prohibition of kidneys because of the fact that this is a gzeira the Rabbanan made. Now, admittedly, this is not a gzeira that the Rabbanan made in the Gemara. This is not found in the Talmud, so it's not of that stature. But nevertheless, this is something that we have to go by. He's talking, of course, to the Ashkenazi Jews. He was a German Rav, and he's saying that this is what we have to do. This is what we have to do, and then he says that even those who claim that there was a minute not to listen to it, you don't follow that. That's what he says. So there you have it. So this is the prohibition of eating kidneys that the Ashkenazic Jews followed. Now the Sfarim, as we said earlier a moment ago, Sfarim do not go by this because the Pesach of the Rambam, which is carries great weight, the Rambam says clearly that these things are permitted to be eaten on Pesach, and the Beit Yosef, who is the backbone of Sfarim Halacha, says those famous words that lest the Choshluhu, that nobody cares about this except for the Ashkenazim, nobody cares about this, which means that the Sfarim never accepted this practice. So therefore, by Sfarim, and you can't say anything about that. You know, they say the joke that the reason why, you shouldn't take exception to this, they say the joke that the reason why Sfarim, when it comes before Rosh Hashanah, so the Ashkenazim begin saying Shlichus just the week before. Sfarim begin Rosh Chodesh Elul much before. So they say the reason is because the Sfarim eat kidneys on Pesach. They have to do more tshuva. Right? That's what they say. But that's a joke. That's a joke. Why? Because of the fact that obviously there's no reason, if you don't have this custom, there's nothing to feel bad about. I mean, it's clear in the Gemara. These things can't arise. You can do whatever you want to and it won't turn into chametz. And even if you make it in such a way that, as the Rambam said, even if you prepare it in such a way that you mix it with hot water and you grind it into flour and you mix it with hot water and lo and behold, it begins to rise right in front of your very eyes, it begins to expand. The Rambam says, based on the Gemara, that's not what the Torah meant when the Torah said chametz. That's not chametz. That is sirchum. That is a different type of reaction. That's a decay, whatever that means. It's a different type of chemical reaction. It's not chametz. This is what he says. So therefore, the Sfarim don't have the minhag. That's fine. The Ashkenazim, however, it goes back a long way. The Smak says that this is a minhag hadmonim. So it goes back many, many, many centuries that we have this, and we are told here by the Maril that we have to keep it. Okay, so that's the bid. That's the bid. Now, however, we know, or we should know, that Ashkenazim should know, that there are certain leniencies that we have with kidneys. There are certain leniencies, and the first one, there are three basic leniencies that we have with kidneys, and the first one is based on a stock of the Truman Tradition, which is on the next page, which is also an Ashkenazic rabbi, that he was asked that what happens if one has a grain made out of kidneys, if one has, that's not the right word, one has a flour made out of kidneys, okay, and water fell onto it and it began to expand. It appeared that way. Are you allowed to have it on Pesach? Not eat it. Are you allowed to have it in your house on Pesach or not? So the Truman Tzedeshin rules, he says here at the beginning of the Tshuva, he says, Yireh D'Shorim. He says, it seems to me that it's permitted to have it on Pesach. The same Heshiv Liyechem Ha'adom B'Tshuva, the cause of Talmud Baruch. And he said that in his opinion, you are allowed to have it. You can't eat it. The Ashkenazim can't eat it. But you can have it in your house. And what's the reason for this? He says, because, first of all, he says, Mishum D'Rabbeinu Yechiel V'Chaveru of Matirim. He says, because even amongst the Ashkenazim, even in the ranks of the Ashkenazim, as we saw, there were those who held that it was mutter. Right? The Smak quoted the Rabbeinu Yechiel opinion, the Rabbeinu Yechiel held that it was mutter. So he says that they held it was mutter to eat. So he says, Inu Abdi Fanan Lo Mashinan. So says the Truman Tzedeshin, why did they, in other words, from our own brethren, so to speak, right, from the Ashkenazic fraternity, we have people that go ahead and eat kidneys on Pesach. So they're eating kidneys and we're not even going to hold it, have it in the house? He said, that's too far. That's too far. So therefore, the first, the heter, number one, the big heter that we have, not a halacha that we have in kidneys is that a person is allowed to have kidneys in the house. When you sell the chametz to a guy, it does not include the kidney is because there is no iser by Rabbi Yimatzi, the Torah's prohibition of having chametz in your possession on Pesach does not apply, even by Ashkenazim, does not apply to kidneys. It's obviously not a good idea to leave it in your closet because of the fact that you could easily come to eat it, especially as we know that the reason why, the Gemara says in the Chazal say in a million places, that the reason why we're so strict with chametz on Pesach is because of all the deal in Minei, the Gemara says we're not separated from chametz. From all the prohibitions in the Torah, the only one, Chazir, you're never allowed to eat. The Bas B'chol, you're never allowed to eat. You can eat them separately, but you can't eat them together. Those things you never eat. But when it comes to chametz you eat the whole year. So you're used to eating it, so therefore there's a very good, very strong concern that a person may slip on Pesach and eat chametz. So because of that, we have many halachos that you have to do all kinds of things to separate ourselves from chametz. But the fact of the matter is, or even if you sold it to a guy, you can't leave it lying around, all kinds of things. But when it comes to kidneys, so you're allowed to have it in your house, but obviously to leave it in your closet together with everything you can eat on Pesach is not a good idea. So, because of the fact that you could easily come to eat it, but it's just important to know that the iser, if should one find kidneys, an Ashkenazi Jew find kidneys in his house on Pesach, so you don't have to burn it, you don't have to go crazy, you don't have to, you know, get angry at whoever messed up and left it lying around, because there is no iser in having it. It's kedai, it's worthwhile to move it somewhere out of reach, but there is no iser in that. That's number one. Okay, now as far as amongst the Ashkenazim, do we say, you know, the minhag started many, many years ago, so was it completely accepted? We said already that we have the Rabbeinu Yechiel who said that they didn't accept it by all kidneys. But in a later century, we find in the 18th century, so one of the famous gedolim from the 18th century is a man by the name of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was actually the son of a great Sephardic rabbi who happened to be an Ashkenazi, right? The Tzvi Ashkenazi, who was known to us, Chacham Tzvi, was the rabbi of the Sephardic community in Europe, he was the rabbi of a great Sephardic community. He himself was an Ashkenazi, so therefore he Amsterdam, thank you. He was the rabbi of the Sephardic community of Amsterdam, and he was himself an Ashkenazi Jew. He was an Ashkenazi Jew. So his son had the benefit of seeing both sides of the world, because he himself observed Ashkenazi practices, but he was the Sephardic rabbi. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, we don't have this on the sheet, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that, let me tell you what my father held about this business with kidneys. You know, my father, who was in the know, because he lived in both worlds, so my father said that if it was up to him, he would abolish the min. He would abolish the min. Why? So he said, because of the fact, the Chacham Tzvi apparently said that because in those days, if you didn't eat kidneys and you didn't eat chametz, there wasn't a whole lot to eat. And therefore, people didn't necessarily have a lot of money to go ahead and in the whole 8 days of Pesach eat meat and chicken and things like that. It was expensive. So what are you going to eat? You're taking away most of the things. They did not have potatoes, apparently, in those days. We'll see about that soon. They didn't have accessible to them in many parts of Europe. They didn't have potatoes. And therefore, there wasn't a lot to eat. So the Chacham Tzvi said, you know what this is causing? This minute of not eating kidneys is causing that people have to eat matzah, more and more matzah. And you'll say, what's so bad about that? So he said, because in his time, the tremendous amount of matzah that needed to be produced put a big strain on the matzah bakeries, and they were rushing to produce as much as they could, and they weren't careful. And in the Chacham Tzvi's opinion, it was causing them to bake chametz. In other words, we know, you go into a matzah bakery, there's a lot of the care that goes into the proper baking of matzahs, but that when they were under a tremendous strain, today we have, even in the hand matzah bakeries, which are still relatively primitive in the way things are made, but even there we've made advancements over the years, we've made progress. But the Chacham Tzvi said in his time, he said, you're forcing them to bake enormous amounts of matzahs, and then they can't possibly be careful about so much matzah, and therefore it's resulting in people eating chametz. So he said, this is a chumrah da'asi li de kula. He said that in his opinion, this should be a, he said that if it was up to me, I would do away with it. Because look what it's causing. You're being big tzaddikim because you're so worried that maybe there's going to be a little chametz mixed in to the flour, or because maybe someone will get mixed up. But it, as a result of this, you're eating chametz manish. So therefore, he said he would do away with it. However, he did not win out his opinion, even though apparently this was publicized. Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote it in one of his farms. But it did not win over, it did not win the day. Most of the Ashkenazi, almost the consensus of the Ashkenazi poskim then and since was that we should still keep the minute the way it is, which in a certain sense shows you, in other words, from this discussion of kidneys, one thing which you could really see is the chashivus, the tremendous importance that we put on Minhag Yisrael. In other words, a minhag is something which is only a custom, it's not based on anything, but nevertheless, it dominates our Pesach today. Our Pesach today, in terms of the restrictions, is dominated by kidneys. And all through the generations, it was that Baruch Hashem, today we have a lot of food that we could eat besides, but in the old times, they didn't have that. And therefore, it was a real issue. It was seriously restricting the amount of food that people could eat. Nevertheless, this fact of the Chacham Tzvi, this opinion of Chacham Tzvi was not accepted. And thus, on this basis, we have the fact. Now we could look in the Shulchan Aruch, we have on the final page, you have here the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, that in Siman Tefillin Gimel, Sif Aleph, so the Shulchan Aruch lists off on the top line the five grains through which one can make matzah, and then in the second line he says, Avolo ba'orez v'shar mine kidneys, one cannot fulfill the obligation with rice, or corn or anything like that, any of these types of things. The gam enam bonli dechimus, they do not come to chametz. They cannot become chametz. This is the psak of the Beis Yosef, which is the Sephardic psak. Umuzer lasman pashal, you can do what you want. To which the Ramah puts in, Agor yesh osrim, there are those who say it's osr, v'haminig v'ashkenaz v'hachmer, the Ashkenazic minhag is to be machmer, the English Shana, so one should not change. One should not change, and here it's worthwhile referring to the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, Sifkat and Zayin, that the Mishnah Berurah says, the English Shana, Ba'afiwu Ba'achron Shal Pesach. Even on the last day of Pesach, we also don't eat it. Now, those of us here who have the practice on Pesach not to eat the brach, food which is the brach, which maybe we spoke about a different time, which is matzah that was subsequently cooked in water, matzah shuri, matzah that was either cooked or soaked in water, which again the halacha clearly states that once matzah is baked, that once the flour is baked, if it's completely baked, it cannot turn into matzah. And therefore you could take your matzahs and make matzah broth, or make knedlach, or all these kinds of things. You could take the matzah and soak it in a bucket of water, and nothing will happen to it, because we hold our law that can't turn into chametz. However, there is a practice which is becoming more and more popular, it's originally, I believe, namely by Hasidim, which is that they were machmer not to eat this type of thing, which was called the brach. They don't eat it on Pesach. If you ever had the experience, I was once at a, when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, so the problem Americans have, the second Seder, where are you going to go? So I once went to, so I was invited by a Hasidic person who lived in Yerushalayim, a wonderful person who opened the house to American Yeshiva classroom to make a Seder in his house, even though by him it was called Moed already. And I remember at the time, because you had to play by his rule. So I remember that at the time, the matzah fell near a little water, and the fire alarm went on. So that is because they don't eat it. Now this minhag of gebrach is widely, widely practiced, that even those who are careful not to eat gebrach eat it on the last day of Pesach. On the Achron Shel Pesach they eat it, and this is really to show that it's only a minhag, it's not a halacha. This is why they do it. Almost everybody who does not eat gebrach on Pesach will eat on the last day of Pesach, they will eat gebrach for things. And what they do with the kelim is a discussion in itself, but nevertheless, that's the practice. But says the Mishnah Berurah that does not extend to kidneys. That when it comes to kidneys, you cannot, even though kidneys are only a minute. It's also only a minute. It's not a din in the Gemara. Nevertheless, this we are so machmer that we don't even need it on the last day of Pesach. Even though the last day of Pesach is only us in Kutzwar is talking. The last day of Pesach is only us in the Rabbanan. The Torah says Pesach for 7 days, we hold Pesach 8 days because of the suffix, so that is in the Rabbanan. Nevertheless, that even though you may eat your, even those who don't eat kibbutz will have kneblach on the last day of Pesach, but no Ashkenazi will eat any rice on the last day of Pesach because the minig of kidney is treated more severely. Yes.
Don't Ashkenazi even allow kibbutz in a mixture though?
No, we'll see in a minute. We'll see in a minute. No.
The Ashkenazi has hagdol. What do they do? Do you know?
The Ashkenazi has hagdol. Do what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says.
Did they eat kibbutz?
Did they eat kibbutz? Probably. They probably ate the brush. I mean, it's also in the Gemara, it's mutter. It's maybe a different time to speak about that. But this is the severity of the minhag maki kidney. Now, you may ask, having listened to all this, I'm trying to wrap it up soon. You may ask that having heard all of this, you'll say, so wait a second. If the whole issue of not eating kidneys on Pesach is because either someone will confuse it with bread flour, or because of the fact that it could be made into a flour and somebody will treat it like bread flour, or because of the day Joseph's concern that maybe some grains in those days it was possible that some grains of wheat got mixed in with the rice, and therefore you'll cook it and you'll be cooking on Pesach. So let's say a person says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to eat kidneys on Pesach, and I'll be careful to observe the same stringencies as chametz. In other words, I'll make matzahs out of rice, and I'll make sure that I'll do it in 18 minutes. We'll play the game the same way you play with it. In other words, it's an amazing thing because the issue of kidneys is more common than the issue of chametz, right? Because the grains that could become chametz we eat on Pesach. We don't eat chametz, but we eat wheat, right? Matzahs, what they're made out of? They're made out of wheat. We eat barley, we eat oats, we eat rice. But kidneys, God forbid, we won't have kidneys. So let a person say, well, yes, I'll do the same thing. Whatever you have to do with that, I'll do with this. So that's a question, are you allowed to do that? So in this area, believe it or not, there is actually a machlokes in the poskim, there is a chayodim, widely respected, says that if you observed it carefully, in a case of need, you could do that. However, again, the prevailing minhag and the broad other poskim say that even there we don't do it. The minhag of not eating kidneys on Pesach is so strong, and not just that it's so strong, but it's because of the concern that, in other words, we're concerned that a person will know the halacha, but he won't know the halacha. In other words, in a certain sense, he knows, why won't you let him make 18 minutes of rice matzahs? Why won't you allow that? So the reason is because of the fact that he knows that rice is different. So therefore, he's not going to be careful with the rice. And according to the Beis Yosef, if there's grain mixed in, it'll turn into chametz. Or according to the Smach's reason, that he'll say that this I know you can take longer, so this I won't be careful in 18 minutes, and someone will see him and bake matzah also without the grains without being careful. So therefore, the consensus of halacha is practiced today, even though the chayotim is makel, but the consensus of halacha is that we don't do that either. The only exception is in a case of some sort of hunger. In cases where there was hunger or, any type of limitation on food, you had this during the war years, you had an Eretz Yisrael during in the 1940s, where they had to, due to what was going on in the rest of the world, there was hunger in Eretz Yisrael, and the question came up, can you do this? And there were Rabbanim who allowed it. Here there were Rabbanim who allowed it because of the fact that they said, under these guidelines, if you will go ahead and do it within the context that you make sure something doesn't turn into chametz, they would allow you to do this also. Okay, so they have, but the common practice is that we don't do it. In a case of a, if there would ever be such a situation, there could be room to be made. Okay, now, the next test that we said, just going through quickly now, we said there are three coolest of kidneys. The number one is that the kidneys, the you're allowed to have it in your house. The second kula of kidneys is that you're allowed to get hanah, even though chametz you're not allowed to benefit from, but kidneys you are, and this is also found on that page in the Shulchan Aruch. If you refer back to it on the bottom line, the Ramah says, v'chein mutzah lahadlis b'shmonim hanasinahem. You're allowed to make from oil that comes from the various types of kidneys, you're allowed to light those candles in the world before electricity. You have to have something to light up your house. You're allowed to use those oils because you're allowed to get hanah from kidneys. And not only that, but then he continues to say, and it's cut off in the page, he says that not only that, but let's say, you'll say, but I'm afraid to put such a candelabra on my table because it could be that it'll give a strip, right, that something will boil up and some of this oil will fall into my food. So the third leniency that we have with kidneys is that kidneys is bottle. That kidneys, if it fell into food on Pesach, would be bottle, even though chametz we hold the halacha, the great chumrah, one of the greatest chumras we have on Pesach is that chametz is not bottle afil de'elot, that chametz on Pesach would not be, even if it fell in, a drop of chametz fell into an enormous pot where it was 1,000 times the amount of heter than iser, nevertheless we hold the halacha that chametz is not bottle, but that does not apply by kidneys. But the question how much exactly you need to nullify it, so Mishnah Berurah seems to contradict himself, but it sounds like if you had 60 times the amount, then it would be bottle. That, in other words, these are the three leniencies that don't apply by chametz. Number one, you could have it. Number two is that you could get benefit from it. And number three is that it would have bittul.
And what about if you go to eat
a spider's house? So if you go to eat in a spider's house, an Ashkenazi has to go by his practice.
Okay, but it's no problem with a kelim or something like that.
That's the question. If you use the kelim that were made that, you really shouldn't. In other words, if the kelim were used on Pesach for kidneys and Ashkenazi, should use his own. That, as far as I know, should.
If you go a house on a party one, he cooks something without kidneys, but he uses kelim for.
It'll be the same thing. In other words, Ashkenazi treat it like other than these three things, Ashkenazi treat it as chametz. Now, I just wanted, the last two points I just wanted to mention, I know we're going over the time, it's a very broad topic. What is kidneys exactly? What constitutes kidneys? There are many minhagim, it's unclear. There's ones that are well known to everybody, rice, beans, corn, nobody disputes. And if you look in the books that they put out for Pesach, the Sarke has a list of various things that turn into chametz. There are varying customs, but the consent was that usually everyone's machmer according to the kashrus agencies, the machmer according to peanuts, a big question. They're machmer according to all the opinions. Now, it happens to be that you will ask, you'll say to me, if the reason, one of the reasons why you can't eat kidneys on Pesach is because it becomes a flour that appears the same, that resembles chametz flour. So what do we use today as one of the basic staples of Pesach? One of the basic staples of Pesach is potato starch. Right, now potato starch can bake you cakes. They may not taste as good as the chametz cake, but you can do a lot of things with potato starch. And it resembles a lot of the qualities, it resembles the grain. So the question is, are potatoes in this prohibition of kidneys? Now everybody knows that we hold no, but the truth is, again, if you look at the chayotim, incredible thing, the chayotim, apparently potatoes, I don't know the history of potatoes in Eastern Europe, but apparently there were times that they didn't have it, and when it came out, it was the subject of dispute. The chayotim ruled that potatoes were kidneys. That's what he said. The joke that came from that was that they used to say that the chayotim is not concerned about the chayotim. In other words, the chayotim is not concerned about the livelihood of people. How are you going to live? How are you going to live? What can you eat? You can't eat anything. In other words, if you think about it, potatoes, the old joke, right, the Jews until the modern era, the last 30, 40 years, when you have all the manufactured products, people ate potatoes on Pesach. That was a big thing that everybody ate. So we hold that if for some reason it was never included in the Zera, probably because they didn't have it at that time, thank God that they didn't have it, and therefore potatoes were not included in the prohibition of kidneys by almost everybody, and therefore it's commonly eaten, even though it's a little bit odd, because the potato starch that we use should, sounds like, at least according to the Smach reason, it should qualify for prohibition, because that's what you make all the cakes from. Nevertheless, we don't need it. And again, just to remember that there's such a thing, you don't say the bracha by mina mizonos, because it's made in Pesach, it's Shahakah. The last thing is, which is the biggest question today in the modern world, is what happens if you take kidneys and play around with it and make extractions from kidneys, and you're not eating it in the form of the bean or the corn. For example, corn syrup, which is the number one problem on Pesach, and all the reformulate the sodas and all these kinds of things because of the corn syrup. So what's the story with that? You're not eating corn. You're eating the corn syrup. So here there was a tshuva from Rav Yitzchok Chanan Spector of the Gedolei HaDor, the cousin of Rav, in the late 1800s, who paskened that corn syrup is something which was not kidneys itself, but was a derivative, he said would be mutter. Which, if that were true, again, we would be in good shape, right? But unfortunately for us, the consensus was not that his sock did not win out, and therefore we're machmer on corn syrup, but it's just interesting to note that there were those who were maker. I just want to finish. And today we have even more of an issue because of the fact that today they manipulate it in such a way that it changes into something else altogether. You have many products that are put into food, aspartame, things like that, which come originally, I believe, from kidneys, but it's you would never know. I think we still don't know. You know, that's what they tell us. So the question is that mutter or not on Pesach? So that's also a shaila. Here there are two opinions in the modern day world amongst the rabbanim. There are two opinions, but again, the minhag itself is very much accepted by Ashkenazim, and therefore we're generally machmer in all these things. Just one last word to close is that the Sfardim who do eat kidneys, should you bake, theoretically a person could make matzahs out of kidneys. You could make it into some sort of thing that appears like a matzah, especially if you want to, you know, if you try to keep it down like we do with our matzah. But a person who made something out of kidneys would have to be careful to not confuse it with matzah. In other words, that would be, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah unless you eat something from the five grains. If it's not from the five grains, even if you bake the matzah, I never tried it, but if you cook some rice or corn starch or whatever it was and bake the matzah out of it and you ate it on Pesach, you would not be yotzei the mitzvah of eating matzah. So therefore, even to Sfardim, there is some relevance to some concern has to be given to the kidneys in the sense that just it shouldn't be confused with matzah. I don't think it's practically in today's world anyone does this, but this is mentioned in the Poskim. And that's pretty much it. So I think the overall theme that we see from this, whether you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi, I think you see from this the hashivas, the importance that are put on minhagim. Time-honored minhagim are treated with great respect, and therefore we should keep them. Yes, sure.